Hello and welcome to another Field Music Cast, where me, David, and him,
me, Peter,
talk about one of the songs from our new album, Flat White Moon, and also talk about some of the songs that have influenced that song. And now we are going to play No Pressure.
Does it have a beat in it?
No.
Ah. Glad I played the drums on that one.
Right. Now, there is no way of talking about the song No Pressure without talking about the song Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie, because in many ways, this is a direct response, mirror image, homage to Under Pressure. For one reason or another, we had to play Under Pressure a couple of times over the last few years, and we've had to learn how to play it. And it's one of those songs where the more deeply I felt I had to dig into it, the better it is.
Yeah, it just keeps getting better. The more you play it, the more you look into it, the better it gets.
Yeah, and it's not that it's complicated in any particular way.
I feel it's quite unrepresentative of Queen. It feels almost like skeletal as an arrangement. There's loads of guitars going on.
I had heard that David Bowie rushed out a rough mix before Queen had a chance to mix it properly. And I have since heard, I think, something called like a Queen classic mix, classic Queen mix or classic rock Queen mix. And it's not as good.
But is it kind of more like solid and together and kind of a bit slicker?
Which loses the feeling of like wild abandon.
Yeah.
And that feeling of, I mean, it's like a proper like vocalist's competition.
Yeah.
They're not.
Does anybody win in your view?
No.
Just singing wins.
Yeah. We win as listeners. But there's loads of elements to that song which we've borrowed directly. So the idea, in Under Pressure, you know, it's built around this really simple bass line. There's only two notes in it. The bass line doesn't tell you anything about what the rest of the music is going to do, really. It doesn't tell you what chord changes there's going to be. It doesn't tell you any of that. It leaves loads and loads of space. It's just a groove, and it leaves loads and loads of space for you to do different things. And I don't think we've quite managed to do that. But the idea in No Pressure is like, okay, well, we'll build it around a bass line that doesn't tell you what, it doesn't like telegraph to you what the rest of the music is going to do. It doesn't tell you whether it's major or minor. It doesn't lead you on in that way. And it means you can do different things. So on Under Pressure, there's the bass line. And then Brian May starts, you know, twinkling out the descending chord pattern while the... Yeah, you got it.
Is that right? Something.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, on ours, it's something kind of similar. The bass line... Doesn't...
All right, what key is that in then?
It's in C at the beginning. Doesn't tell you whether it's major or minor, and it means you can do all sorts of weird stuff on the top. So, yeah, I think the chords that happen in the verse of No Pressure basically like have two key changes in it or something.
Oh yeah. All right, yeah. So, I mean, I just played the drums on that one. I have no clue. I don't care what you're doing, to be honest.
Well, as long as it works, it's fine. Right. Don't need to know. But that was one of the ideas. And then, you know, the chords splash in the chorus. And there's a breakdown section where, you know, people talk about humanity, you know, which is...
Yeah. But as is quite often the case with songs that you write, which are a kind of... sometimes an homage to another song. And I know you've done this before with Kink songs, where there's a song called I'm Not Like Everybody Else. And then you did a song called I'm Just Like Everyone Else, or Everybody Else. I should know the titles of these things. So obviously you've turned Under Pressure to... There's no pressure.
Yeah, so I when I think of Under Pressure, I think of it's like the cry of the common man.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're all dealing with all this stuff, and maybe if we do it together, we'll be okay.
Ba ba boom bombay.
Ba ba boom ba bay.
Oh, bom ba bay.
Whereas maybe I'm just a much more pessimistic or cynical person, perhaps, and No Pressure is a song of somebody saying, yes, well, I've done awful things, terrible things, but actually it doesn't matter because the news has already moved on from the terrible thing that I did.
Right.
And therefore, there are no consequences for what I have done. And frankly, because of my life experiences, nestled within this cocoon of privilege, I've never had any consequences for anything. Move along. Is that a bad thing to write a song about?
No. I don't know. I mean, it's too late, even if it is.
Yeah, it's done, now. It's done now. I mean, I don't necessarily think that's the
right
thing which you'll come across, you know, the first time you hear the song, because it's got, you know, riffs and stuff in. That's only when you dig down into it. But again, it's like it's another element of it, which is.
I mean, I'm assuming you if you're not thinking of a particular person, you have certain people in mind, don't you?
I do. I've got loads. Well, because I think that it's a it's like the new way of politics.
Yeah.
That the things which used to happen where, oh, there's a scandal and that person
has to resign.
That's gone out of the window. And, you know, certainly, like everyone else, the fateful trip to Barnard Castle.
Should have gone to Specsavers.
Yeah, I mean, that felt like the epitome of this. Like, well, I was just doing what I thought was best for my children.
Yeah.
Like, trying to, like, make you feel guilty for daring to suggest that, as, you know, a privileged person in power, that they were allowed to ignore the rules that the rest of us are, like, we're all arguing about, like, the rule. Hey, I saw that guy, like, you know, walking on the beach near another person.
Yeah.
If you happen to be listening to this in 5 years' time, when coronavirus is hopefully just a strange memory, then maybe that reference won't make any sense whatsoever. But, you know, while we're all arguing about, like, the finer details of how we should ethically live and move things on, there's this, like, strata of people who...
above that.
Yeah, don't feel that that's something that they need to worry about. As long as they feel like they're in control of the story, in control of, like, a political narrative, and maybe they're right, and that's awful. But, yeah. It is an okay thing to write a song about. It's basically what I'm angry about. I write songs about things I'm angry about.
You've got to do what you feel is right, of course.
Obviously, there's other musical influences, because I, you know, don't just listen to Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie.
Just 60% of the time.
There's a significant percentage of the time, but not 100%.
So what are the other musical influences on this one then? Because do we ever really talk about this?
No, not in a...
When we're in the heat of the recording studio. Also known as the room with the microphones in.
Yeah, I mean, don't talk, just play. Don't think, just feel.
Is that a Right Said Fred song?
I mean, one of the things that I have realised that I ape on the guitar most often is A Night to Remember by Shalimar. So there's a style of playing on that kind of record, like a 80s funk influenced pop record with really spiky, really staccato guitar parts. I mean, it comes from Chic, I guess. Like, I think Nile Rodgers like elevated what the guitar was going to do in chart music, I think. It's just unfortunate that probably the the most obvious representation for it in my mind is probably Night to Remember by Shalimar. And I Can Make You Feel Good by Shalimar as well. So there's a bit in that song where guitar comes in halfway through the verse, and it's just that spiky... I can't play it. It's almost like slightly behind the beat, and it adds a groove. I feel like it's something which, like a relatively recent, like influence on my guitar playing, because you know if you'd seen us playing live, up to and including Plum, I played a Gibson SG Special, and I think that guitar is pretty like fundamental part of my guitar style up to then. And then I got a Strat copy, and
pretty cheap Strat copy.
I bought a Strat copy for £125.
You wouldn't see Knopfler with one of them.
No, and I got it from a local shop, which is both a guitar shop and an aquarium shop.
Always the twain shall meet.
I feel like I should write a song about that as well. I'd always been a bit sniffy about Stratocasting, you know, because I've got this lovely, weird old Gibson. But actually, I kind of love it, and I've learned to embrace the kind of things that that style of guitar does that my lovely 1968 Gibson SG Special doesn't do.
And it's horses for courses. I have the Strat SG dilemma as well, because I've got my Japanese Aerodyne Strat, which is a wonderful guitar, and then I have my Gordon Smith with two P90s, and it's an SG, Gibson SG copy essentially. Although some people would say it was maybe even better than the Gibson SGs of today. And I just can't decide which one is which one says, oh yeah, that's Peter Brewer's guitar. And it's just, maybe that's just the thing, I just don't have one.
It's just the tension between those two desires.
The yin and the yang.
That is who we are as people. If we ever did a band where we actually both played guitar at the same time, we could do both.
But who would have what?
Dun, dun, dun. It's an impossible conundrum. We'd do the same thing we do now and just swap around. The other guitar thing on this song, which I feel like I should mention. So the video, the very silly video we did, it's not silly, the very serious video we did where we illustrate how you might make a field music song.
Yes.
So that went out there, and somebody commented on the YouTube, Prince is going to like that bit. Like, Prince? I mean, I borrow from Prince a great deal, but I didn't think I'd specifically done it on this song. I mean, I borrow from Prince almost all the time, but not on this song. And so I was...
Oh, like, did he mean the end bit?
He meant the end bit. He meant the... Now, I don't think of that as being a Prince thing. I mean...
Here he is basically doing it on a yellow Telecaster.
A yellow copy Telecaster.
Yeah, like... don't get too much more Princey than that.
I think of that as being the Jimmy Nolan style. The proper, like, twanging...
When was he in James Brown's band?
So he was... I think he was in the band from, like, 1965 until all of the band got kicked out in 1969, and then he joined again. But in the period after he got kicked out, like the other person who was really great at that style is Catfish Collins.
Right.
So when I think of that style, I think of those two.
Right. But obviously being very influential, Prince obviously was very aware of...
Of course, these are like Prince's favourite things in the world. So I can see where it comes from. I just didn't think of that. But especially I didn't think about it for this song, because this song is a tribute to Queen. And there's an example of Brian May trying, possibly not very well, to play in that style on Another One Bites the Dust.
See, I always think you give Brian a bit of a hard time for that.
I do give Brian a bit of a hard time.
And I think, I feel like you'd maybe do it a bit to Jimmy Page as well. But I mean, you know, they've done all right for themselves as guitarists. And I think it's fine.
Well, weirdly, probably the first time I had heard that style of guitar playing...
Was Brian May.
Was probably Brian May or Jimmy Page on The Crunge.
Yeah.
So The Crunge is from 1972. Like probably at the peak of James Brown's fame. Clearly Jimmy Page and John Bonham as well, I think, were like...
Oh, and Robert Plant. I mean, he says like, take it to the bridge. Where's that confounded bridge, like, and all that sort of stuff.
Really influenced by something really contemporary for them. I mean, I do love it, but I don't necessarily think that Jimmy Page is... nailed that style.
No, but I think
it's not his thing.
I think with any of those things, it's, you know, and it's like the Beatles trying to nail the Motown style. It's
you're trying to
come
for
up with something else.
Yeah,
you know, they come up with something else,
and that's what makes it.
You know, and I think we try to do like, you know, genre pieces and fail, and just let it be a failure, and just become something else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not interested in authentically recreating the sound of any...
It's just as well.
Yeah. I neither have the skill nor the patience to do it. But also, I think, like, now, because we've made, you know, absolutely tons of records, is that I have the faith that whatever we try and do, we'll hopefully miss in an interesting way.
That's the hope. That's the hope.
Imagine what would happen if we tried to recreate something and actually like really nailed it.
I think that might be a problem if we ever do sort of like a, I was going to say like a real like British blues boom sort of thing. But actually I think we would miss with that as well. I think we'd really miss with that. I don't think we have the right kind of swing on the drums.
Definitely don't think we could do the right lyrics.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless we do a British blues boom covers album. It's not gonna
Nobody
happen.
Wants to hear that.
It's not gonna happen. Although, speaking of blues,
let's talk blues
because the other silly reference that are made in the video is
what is it?
To Status Quo, because we do this now. I have I automatically think that doing that kind of riff is like not allowed in field music, that it should be like.
But we've done it before. Band. We've done it before, but you do something. Can you not remember the on what was it?
When have we done it?
Obviously, that's taken to
You've taken the rhythm, but harmonically, it's you're really moving.
Well, I nicked that, you know. I saw it was I think it was Billy Gibbons. No, it was Keith Richards saying there was a blues guy who went, right, A, D. And then when he did the E, he still kept the D bass note because he just couldn't be bothered. And I thought, that's mint. So I think it was.
So well, now
and I can't remember who it was.
Now anyway. We need to do another episode of this for checking on my message.
Now we don't.
I'm going to start an online poll for which songs from previous albums we should do.
But you're right about that.
Yeah, it feels like it should be. It should be out of bounds.
It's like surely.
But really, just for that moment, we'll let it pass. And also because, actually, Status Quo at their best are utterly great.
I mean, I loved the Quo when we were growing up. You know, it's like our childhood friend Ian had like the best of. I think it was called 12 Golden Bars.
Yeah, I definitely remember. I think it was like a Nebworth concert.
Oh, the Silver Clef Awards.
Nod off Robbins.
I think it was a Silver Clef Awards, and it had opened with Status Quo, just to get things going. Phil Collins and Genesis. So I don't know what happened. Like the rest of Genesis just thought, oh, we'll have to just walk off now.
Eric Clapton wearing one of those pastel Armani suits?
Pink with a black t-shirt.
Classic.
Knopfler and Dire Straits were on. Knopfler had another Armani suit. Were flapping about in the wind. And his guitar playing was amazing, but he looked like a Karamak.
I think that maybe that concert had far too much influence Pink Floyd. On us.
Pink Floyd were on. They were on later on, so the light show would like work. Robert Plant was on. Jimmy Page came on with a wine red Les Paul and just stuck his hand in the air and just did power chords and I loved it, obviously. I'm trying to think who else was on. Tears for Fears were on. Elton John.
Your memory of this is better than mine. I basically only remember Status Quo playing in the army.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that. I remember Status Quo. I don't remember them doing in the army now.
I might have made it up.
I did. I went to see them at City Hall and I wasn't expecting that much. Like about maybe 10 years ago. I mean, and they were great. They were rocking. And you know what? I was really impressed with Rossi's guitar playing. You know, they get kind of, obviously, they're a 12 Golden Bar band. Three chords, 12 bars. You do the math. But there's more to them than that. There is more to them than that.
I don't think the sound... Yeah, I mean, there's like an intricacy to the way they play the guitar, which like matches nicely with the pounding heaviness when they get going. But I don't think I appreciated them until, well, stepping back a few years, when we first started playing, we played covers in local pubs around the Northeast, and the band who we enjoyed seeing the most, the band who kind of like inspired us to be doing that, were called the Rhythm Bandits.
I was in them for about four rehearsals, but I was
too young,
too slow on the drums. I wasn't fast enough. I couldn't play like down. You know, they were playing 100 miles an hour R&B and I could only go to about 30.
but they were like proper Quo aficionados.
Yeah, and they saw it as as part of the lineage of Dr. Feelgood, Nine Below Zero, those sort of like
back to basics,
like pub rock bands who were like, but actually like very musical, but you know could really sort of whip it up. And I loved them, and I think I also think that they might have had an influence on how I viewed the Futureheads as well.
Oh, I love that.
I was in the Futureheads, like me and Baz, we'd go and see the Rhythm Bandits, and in my mind it was like, yeah, we're gonna do like a really really weird.
We're gonna do the arty version of that.
The art rock, like
still play that fast.
Yeah.
Still play that hard.
Yeah, but I couldn't even keep up with. I couldn't keep up with the playing for the Future Heads either. That was too fast for me.
I mean, once they started playing the drums for the Future
Heads, they went faster.
They cranked up a good 20 or 30%. Sometimes in the space of one song.
My mind doesn't work that fast, let alone my hands.
We just need to do more rehearsing. Well, I'm glad that we've managed to get at least that small tribute to Status Quo in there, and maybe reintroduce them to a new era. The Nod Off Robins, Silver Clever Wars, Generation
Superstrat.